Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SAP Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just one reminder how to join us. We have a talk guest every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. The follow directions, call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web, just go to the Talkshow website at www.talkshow.com and search for call ID 17702. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall at gmail.com. Also, if you need to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGames. And, of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My account there is sfuoncall. And if you want to actually look at my... If you want to follow my personal account, which is tech and stuff, Catholic and stuff, and things like that, where it's my personal opinion, then you always can follow me at Paul Franz. So just go to twitter.com/Paul Franz. It's PaulFranz. And of course, if you want to find out anything that's happening in my, and like SAP Online, Starfleet Warlord, well, go to the Franz Games Twitter account. It's FRAZGMES. And you know, I'll announce news and also things about the client updates and things like that, anything that's happening there. Of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned up podcasts available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week. They released over 60 new ships on Shapeways in time for the Cyber Monday sale. Also, Steve Cole was busy working on fiction for Cabin's Log number 53. Wow, up to 53. And also working on the art for the Gorn Master Starship book. Of course, Shapeways, you know, that he just got out the door and on up there. Actually, they got up there on Sunday night, and it was all set to go. Steve Pedrick was busy working on SCB updates and also the Gorn Master Starship book. Gene was busy working on, of course, Facebook, replying to anything there, you know, for the Facebook page and things like that. Also managing the Twitter feed, and also, of course, making sure that the spam is kept off of the BBS. Moving on to the SAP Online tournaments, unfortunately for those things, is that it's been like a standstill. There was supposed to be a game possibly this past weekend. That didn't seem to have occurred. Last weekend, as in the weekend before Thanksgiving, not the weekend after Thanksgiving. And obviously, we didn't have a show Thanksgiving because it was Thanksgiving. And I'm an American, so. And my wife would have killed me. Also, it would have been interesting trying to do that on the road because I was driving all the way home. But anyhow, moving back to talk about the SAP Online tournaments. Masters tournament was still have that one game on round one that's stuck. And, of course, we have the two round two games played. Hopefully, there's actually one game that sounds like might have been completed in round two. So we might get up to three, which would be great to see. Also, Rat 48, we're still stuck where we were last time, which is one game completed round three and hoping to see other games completed. I'm almost thinking about doing what we did actually with play by email, which I don't want to do just because it's kind of admitting defeat. And that is the whole idea of what's called a ladder tournament. But I'll talk about that more on the podcast later on today. Moving onward to the library stuff, unfortunately, still no progress, though I did get some submissions. I'm not sure if there were updates or new things. I've yet to actually process them. It's my fault. I've been busy with other things. So we still have completed conversions at 2426, and yet we converted 906, and percentage completes around 73% at 72.8%. And with that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one, the only, the Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we've got, me, of course. I'm just the sort of awesome person. Well, I'm running the podcast, so if I'm not here, we've got a problem. The other person here is actually Dave in the chat room, and possibly Russ or some other gentleman might show up later tonight, which is cool. The more, the merrier. And if you can make it, why aren't you here? If you're having problems with TalkShoe, well, we still have the Google Hangouts. I'm more than happy to... It's a YouTube live stream that's using Google Hangouts. It's how Google works is kind of goofy, and I don't quite understand it. It works at the moment. So I sent out a link. So if you want to join, you can join the link. And as long as you have a YouTube account, you should be good to go. And I'll be happy to chat with you there. And tonight, actually, we're going to start off with is there were approximately 60 miniatures. Obviously, ADB's version of 60 miniatures and my version of 60 miniatures, two different things. Actually, sorry, there's 60 miniatures. There's not that many ships because of depends upon the size and some cases there are little details. For example, when it comes to, okay, let me bring it up, which is, okay, I'll just bring up the list, the Fed NCA, there's actually four NCAs, there's two different sizes with, you can either get the smooth version or the grid version, which is always interesting, you know, the grid versus the smooth, and just like, the Klingon D5W, which is they have both again two different sizes and two different an Aztec-ing and it's got the smooth. So I'm not gonna go through all the different sizes and different finishes. Applying, you know, like smooth versus Aztec. And smooth versus grid. I'm not going to go through every single one. But what I will do is, just to start with, I'm going to give a quick list of those ships that were added this past Sunday. And for that, we have the Fen NCA, we have the Klingon D5W, we have the Gorn Destroyer in the DD, the Zinti FKE, which is, I don't even remember that ship, to be honest. Of course, I'm not that much familiar with the Zinni. We have the Romulan Jayhawk, the Gorn Destroyer PFT, the Neo-Tholian Heavy Frigate, which is interesting by itself, the Romulan Griffin Hawk. You got the Hydran Pegasus. I can't wait for the look at that, because that's one of my favorite ships when it comes to the Hydrans. Though, actually, I looked at some of the minis, which are really, really cool when it comes to the Hydrans. We've got the Zinni, late Dreadnought, the Federation Base Station, the IC Base Station, the Zinni Base Station. Then we got the Zosman Frigate. On the Gorn Base Station, the Laren Base Station, the LDR Base Station. The Base Station are all Omni, so they don't have two different sizes. Though there was a request for different sizes when it comes to the base stations. The Zosman Light Cruiser, Heavy Cruiser, Destroyer. Those are three different ships. You got the Frax War Cruiser. Also the Frax Demon 3 Fighters. Both in the 285 and the Omni versions. The Vudar War Destroyer. The Vudar War Cruiser. This is the one that actually I kind of liked, which was the Hydran Horsemaster. I'll hit on that. I'll tell you why I like it. The Liren Firecat Battle Control Ship, the LDR, the Firecat Battle Control Ship, big surprise. The Liren Siberian Lion SCS. So those are the different ships that actually were put out there. For the Cyber Monday sale, and obviously they're still available, so if you want to pick them up, please pick them up, because some of them are actually quite cool. Let's start. I want to move as right. Right now, I'm going to the wrong window. Okay. Onto the right window. Okay, we got the Lyran refitted. Okay, this is the refitted one. Yeah, the space control ship with the Aztec-ing, which is okay. The Aztec-ing looks good on this one. Not completely thrilled with it. Just like the Firecat here. This is without the Aztec-ing. It's kind of smooth. That looks actually looks pretty nice because of you got the smooth part, but then you have these pieces here, which I think really help because you need something that's going to be defining when it comes to a ship. You can't. That's why in some cases I like the Aztec-ing because of it gives a little more texture to the ships. Ah, of course, the LDR, no, Firecat, pretty much the same thing as a Lyran Firecat with minor modification when it comes to the bumps, the pips for the phasers. At least I'm assuming that's the only difference, if there's any difference at all. Now, this is what I really was looking for. This is the one thing I looked at and went, this is kind of cool. That's the Hydran Horsemaster. What I like about this ship, you know, overall, it's a nice style for the ship itself. But if you notice here, you got the 1, 2, 3. Let me see. Do they tell you in the description? No, they don't tell you in the description. So let's do this. Let's bring up the 3D version. And so what we can do is, okay, we got the 1, 2 there, and then we have 4 on the bottom of the ship. So we have the whole PFT flotilla is attached to the Horsemaster. And to me, I think that's kind of cool, where they actually attach a miniature version of the PFT onto the ship. Now, obviously, one thing you really can't do is have a miniature that small individually, because it's way too small. You know, the PFTs themselves, you know, here and here and here, and you know, the other ones out below. But it gives you a good sense of scale for the ship and the PFTs that are also attached to the ship. It gives you a really good idea of the, you know, size difference. So I think this is as close as you're going to get to relative scale, because of if you ever seen I think they have the PFs. I'd have to double check, but I know they have the fighters. The fighters obviously are not to scale, because you have the fighters to scale, they're going to be little bitty dots. Not quite dots, but pretty close to dots. And which is why you would never, ever show them. Now, these are kind of the ships that I looked at. When I first brought them up, I went, ooh, these are cool. Which is the Vudar. If you ever looked at the SSDs for the Vudar, they look just like this. You know, have, you know, the oval here and these little wings on the sides. This is one of the ships I like, just because of it's much different than the Federation or the Klingon ships, you know. And it's one of those things that, you know, I look for unique designs. Heck, that's one of the things that it's like, actually what I saw today, which was a cube. It's not a car. It's kind of not even an SUV. It's kind of like a minivan, kind of weird thing. I don't like the way it looks, but I can appreciate that it's something different. because of, if anyone's actually seen a cube, like the back passenger window, it's not two pieces of glass. You have one on the side and one on the back. Basically, it's one piece of glass that wraps around from the side to the back. And I think that's kind of cool. That's definitely something that's very unique. Something that really makes it stand out. And that's one of the things even though I don't like the overall design of the cube, I can appreciate it. It's different. Because if you look at many cars these days, they look so much alike that it's just like, okay, tweak it here, tweak it here, tweak it here. But the most part, they really look a lot alike. You know? And that's why it just... That's one of the reasons why I like the Vudar. Stylistically, I really like the Vudar, the way it looks. And I think it's a really good representation, a conversion from the SD to an actual model. Then we have, of course, the Frax Demon III Strike Fighter. Actually, the great thing about this fighter is, you don't have to use it for SSB. You can actually use it for other ones. Now, I'm not even sure if they based it off of somebody else's miniature. I have no clue. Could not be. Obviously, some of the things that are definitely unique, obviously, are going to be these things, the drones that are attached to the fighter. They look like missiles, basically. But they're specialized missiles. So this is a kind of a neat one. Now, okay, here also we have a whole I forgot what they call it. I'm gonna bring it up here. Okay, I thought they had it here. What they call this thing, which is basically a collection of the ships. Like that. That Dave's mentioned that the cube is a hideous little SUV thing, worse than the Pontiac Aztec. Weird. Sorry. Russell mentioning about his kids and them actually showing they built a dinosaur's nest, and it's still in the Google map. Google Earth, I think is what he said. But anyhow. And of course, now we have the Frax War Cruiser, which I kind of like the Frax in that, you know, they have these really flat ships, you know. And it's an authentic, because that's one thing. If you ever looked at the SSDs for the Frax, the whole idea of the Frax, actually not quite. I was thinking about the Britannians. Yeah, I think it's Britannians, which is in the module C4, where Britannians are actually supposed to be like ships. You know, the old sailing vessels. You know, that's why they have those weird firing arcs for their weapons. The weapons for the Britannians are to the right and to the left. Nothing for to the front, because that's the way, you know, the old sailing ships were, you know, back in the 1800s. Well, actually, sorry, 1800s, definitely 1700s and 1600s. I'm not sure about the 1800s. I forget when we started moving towards steel, you know, steel hulls and so forth, and get rid of and purely engine powered and nothing that was had sails and wind powered. Now, this is the one thing I was really, when I saw it, I was really excited about, which was the Zossman. This is the Zossman heavy cruiser. Now, if you remember the Zossman are the Omega Octant pirates, basically. And these are the first time I've actually been able to see the ships themselves. Right. Zossman migrated to the Phi sector of the Milky Way from another galaxy, settling close to the immense void separating the Omega and Sigma Octants. They took a slow, methodical approach to colonization, spending a decade or so building up each colony world before starting work on the next one. They had a new home world and 12 colony planets operational, with a 13th in the works, when the Cataclysm, a galactic weather phenomenon, swept through the Zossman space and devastated their civilization. The Cataclysm irrevocably shaped Zossman society. Therefore, after the Zossman homeworld managed to recontact eight of the original colonies to form Zossman Collective, you know, the five uttermost remaining independent, becoming Marauder worlds. You know, there are three core worlds, and then five were Marauder worlds. Basically, kind of pirates. And it's mentioned here that anywhere between 8-12 to 20 Marauder sails could be active at any given time. I'm not going to read through this whole... It's a big blurb of text. I'm not going to read it all. I just want to read that quick section about it. But just to describe it, yeah, the Zossman, another, you know, again, I like it just because of it. It's definitely very, it's unique. And I'm also excited to have them. Now, this is the weird one in my mind. Okay, we've got here, we got the LDR base, we got the Lyran base. Big surprise, they look very much the same. You have the Gorn base here, which is more circular. Big surprise, because that's the way they designed their ships. It's a classic Federation base station here. Zinti, which is a little more angular. Big surprise, because if you look at the Zinti ships, and here's examples right here, the light dreadnoughts, they're angular when it comes to, you have that big head in the back, and then the rear hull is a lot more slim and goes straight back. Again, it's very angular. Oh, cool, the Pegasus. I'll get to that in just a moment. Now, to me, the weirdest one here, which I saw, and I really, overall, I don't like. So it's because it's weird. And that's this one, the IC base station. Because, okay, I kind of understand the way that we're going with this, which is, if you look at these sections here, the three different pylons, I'm not sure. But anyway, it looks like they just took them right off a ship. That's what it looks like. But then you have these three in the middle here. And they have little stubs on the bottom here too. Because let me just bring up 3D so you can see them better. Because if you look down here, you have three little ones down the bottom. It's nice that it's different, but again, I'm not so sure I would ever want a base station with these things at least up this high. Maybe that cut them in half right on here. That might be more reasonable, because I'm just imagining, you know, these basically got towers in the middle of a base station. What's wrong with this picture? You know? And then we're going to get to the ones that I'm kind of happy, I'm thrilled to find, which is the Hydran Pegasus. One of my favorite overall ships when it comes to the Hydran. See how it's, It's so much. It's not like a normal hydrogen vessel, because normal hydrogen vessels are very flat, very angular. You know, this is much more smooth, rounded, including. That looks like the artist, the sculptor. Sorry, made the wings kind of rounded here. You know, they weren't angular. You know. And you can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So you can see that the PFs on the wings. So quite cool. I really like it. Of course you got the Griffin Hawk. Nothing too special compared to some of the older ones. Same for these, you know, overall the Romulan ships are pretty much the same as expected. And of course the heavy frigates, these are kind of weird ships to a certain degree. And that is that you have these collars. This is one of those. They basically took a frigate, a Neo-Tholian frigate, and to make it a heavy frigate, they added this little collar here, which, you know, give additional power and so forth. So, okay, did they mention that here? Right. The other ones arrived, scrapped their frigates and destroyers to use parts to get, Before those ships were given up, however, the Thonians and the other ones did at least consider the ideas of retaining them for combat use, even upgrading the smaller frigates to this heavier combat by the addition of a collar to increase the power and weapons. So basically, from the sound, that's one thing I forgot about, which was that the Tholians scrapped all the Neo-Tholian frigates and destroyers when the Neo-Tholian ships arrived into our galaxy, and because there was they couldn't be repaired, really. You know, they basically they sacrificed them. Used them for scrap. Now they took, you know, some of the weapons and so forth off the frigates and destroyers, and they put them, you know, on other ships. So, you know, not bad. And because I see frigates aren't anything. Any real ship to write home about. Let me switch this inches. So it's relatively small ship. And if I recall correctly, the frigate only could launch, I forget if it was one or two plasma Fs. That's the thing. I'm seeing King Kong versus the IC fighters while hanging from the towers on the IC battle station. Yeah, that's really interesting. So, with that, I think that goes over some of the goes over most of the new minis. You know, ones I liked, the ones I didn't like so much, the ones that really aren't impressed, because, as I said, the Griffin Hawks, they're nice. And if you really liked the Romulan design, I'm sure you would love them. But overall, when it comes to Romulans, I'm not that, you know, I really don't like the design that much. You know, as I said, I like the Hydrogen Pegasus. That's really nice. I really like the Zossman. Yeah, it's kind of boxy. But again, it's unique, but it still has a really good aesthetic. So I think it's overall a good thing. do here is I'm going to now switch to here. Okay. So it's back to the chat room. Now, next thing I actually wanted to talk about is actually real quick, something came up actually with the news portion that I said I was going to bring up now, which is when play by email, the tournaments were fading. One idea that was done, and the reason why it failed, which is called a ladder tournament. I'm not sure if Steve Cole would be interested in doing it. I'm not sure it could even really be a rated ace tournament, but we could, it would allow someone, if you went up the ladder, then I would possibly give you a prize for that. So it's a way of having a continual gaming. Now, the hard part about a ladder tournament is overall it is the maintaining of the records and knowing that, okay, when you died running up that one ladder, then you have, when you restart, okay, you fail, okay, so you start a new ladder and then you have a record of that ladder for you. The whole idea of a ladder tournament is that it's an ongoing tournament, 365 days a year, you know, well, right, 7 days a week, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, something like that. I think I got that right. But anyway, the whole idea is it's continual. It's always going on. Whether we have an actual rated ace tournament going on or not, you can play in this other ladder tournament. The whole idea of the ladder tournament is that if you won 5 games in a row, at that point, you consider you've beat the ladder. So, the question is, it's high maintenance when it comes to the tracking of those. Yeah. Dave's enjoying that. The Cowboys are winning 13-3. And he can only say go Cowboys because they're winning. But anyhow. So the question is, would we want to actually run a ladder tournament? I'm not sure Steve Cole would agree on being rated ace, but at the very least, I could at the very least give a prize, you know, maybe an additional month onto your SLB Online tournament, all right, to your account, or something along those lines. Maybe, you know, I wouldn't want to give prize money out because prize money, there's issues with that overall. Actually, if I give out prize money, people would have to actually submit that as part of a tournament fee. You know, so every single time you start a tournament, you put in your fee. And then when you got up to 5, you get a prize, you know, whether it's, you know, your fee plus, you know, I don't know, some kind of multiple of that, you know, maybe, you know, 5 times, i.e. because you won 5 against 5 players. Not sure, but I don't like going that way just because of there might be legal issues involved with actually giving out money versus giving out prizes like free online time or something else that I could possibly do. You know, obviously, if we would do something like this, we'd have to have a winner's page, a page that shows, okay, who has actually beat the ladder. You know, that kind of thing. Something I will probably want to actually put out there, you know, ask people, you know, would they be open to having a ladder tournament? Because of, again, it's one of those things that previously, it would be a lot of manual work because I didn't have an actual website to do it. But today, I could definitely do it. I could automate the process. Now, of course, here's the gotcha in my mind when it comes to the ladder tournament. One, will it discourage the running of the rated ace tournaments? I'm not so sure because of their on and off. Then we have the whole idea, whole issue with matchups. How to get matchups and figure that out. Also, would it discourage net kill games? Because then you'd have a choice of, when it comes to a very, very dynamic tournament, you have the net kill games, which are always on. You can play whenever your time, you know, when two people get together, boom, you can play. Now, obviously, with a ladder tournament, the whole idea is that you have to play five different people. It cannot be duplicates in any way, shape, or form. So that might, obviously, that might present a problem if you can't find five different individuals to play against. Hopefully you can, because if you can't, we're in deeper trouble than I thought. But the bigger issue is that it might take away from the net kill tournaments and also the regular tournaments. If we actually started a ladder based tournament, but you know, something that definitely we can discuss about that. While I'm thinking about it, I might as well there's one thing I'll be adding to the Warlord website, because I've tried it and actually I think it's working pretty well, though the one player I have, this always happens. You get newbies where they have nothing, no skin in the game, and they invariably disappear. You know. So I'm not exactly sure how to solve that issue, because I had a learning game, which is basically this: a single player playing in a 3x3 galaxy. The whole idea is that you get to play like 10 turns. Gives you plenty of opportunity, and then the idea is that you try to defeat as many monsters, as many ships. You try to learn the game as much as possible in that game, and without having to worry about the whole thing of you know, fighting against somebody else. So you're against the NPCs and against the monsters, but that's all you're against. You're not against any actual players themselves, which would be a lot more difficult. Who was it? Justin. He wanted to actually play against somebody and not actually the whole idea of a one-on-one. One-on-ones are not, I have not done them for a while. We used to actually have special games. If two players want to get together and have a special game that's just for them, I'm more than happy to run that game when it's just two players. Now, again, it's one of those things that it's hard to have people do, because invariably, if someone gets behind, they're just going to drop out, or they're going to delay, and you know. So maybe I might announce that availability for, or at least a reminder of those special games. The special one-on-ones where people can actually set up their own rules, you know, own setup. Okay, we want to have a 3x3, you know, cage match kind of thing. Maybe change some of the variables, including no wraparound galaxy, which I think is a interesting idea. And some other things. The engine has this one thing that's called random sectors. That means the current sectors, like 1-1 is next to 1-2. But in random sectors, 1-1 might not be next to 1-2. It might be next to 5-5 or 5-4 or 5-3, whatever. The whole idea is that the placement of the sectors are actually randomized too, which is weird, but I haven't actually tried running a test game with that. I think that might be an interesting idea. So with that, I think I will move on to the next topic. And that's a topic that I've actually started doing a little work on, and just something, a topic to bring up of, because I brought this topic up long ago and far away. I even have a website for it called SFU Adventures. Now, I've got the domain. Don't have anything up there. Don't have a website. It's something that I might tell, because this is one of those things that I want to do just for the sheer fun of it. Just to see what happens. The whole idea is basically it's interactive fiction. As I've talked about this many years ago, the whole idea of creating of an interactive fiction game where we as a community can work together to create it. I've kind of dropped the idea. And what I want to do is create a standalone. Not really standalone, but a single author system. This is what I'm working on. And I like the idea because of what it can do for me is I can slowly build up this world based on whatever I want. At the moment, I'm hoping to base it off of Starfleet Universe. I'm not so sure I can do that. If not, I'll go another direction. Now, I was thinking about using Twinery, Twine. I think the product is actually called Twine. But I was looking into it again, and actually, I got a book on doing it. It's in my bookshelf here somewhere. I just don't see it off the top. There it is. Okay, I found it. I found it on my bookcases. I might look at it. Because the one thing I didn't like about Twine, the great thing about Twine is it's very flexible. You can create all these links from here to here to here to here. It makes it really cool for a click-based adventure. Now, the one thing that, if I recall correctly, with Twinery, now this was a couple of years ago now, is that it doesn't really, there's no additional support by default for things like objects or people, and maintaining these lists of those kind of things. Those can be done because it's web-based. So you can actually do JavaScript that will actually maintain these things behind the scenes. And then you can integrate that into Twinery itself. But overall, it makes it really, that kind of click based adventure makes it really easy to go from, to go through the interactive fiction, go from here to here to here to here. I wanted a more basic, almost Zork-like adventure. I probably should look at my interactive fiction stuff a little bit, because actually I started writing it myself in Rust, just because of Rust is the new programming language I'm interested in, and I really want to try it in Rust. And I was going to start it off as just a command line kind of thing, command line creation tool and text adventure kind of thing, which what I might do is tweak it a little bit so that I was thinking about having kind of an interactive fiction on the website. The old school based, you know, text, type in the commands, and then go out the southeast door or whatever. But you can have you can go from here to here. And the one thing I was thinking about adding a little thing on later, and not right now, I'm just working on basics. And that is, you know, you go to this room and it'll bring up these different multimedia kind of things. You know, whether it's a picture or play a video or play a sound or something along those lines when you go into a room. And you possibly could have it if it's a multimedia, i.e., sound or a video file. Have it so that you can replay it if you want. And the whole idea would be, you know, it'd be showing up as part of the web browser, you know, in certain locations. But overall, it would be kind of a command line text based adventure. That's what I like to have for the web. But I was thinking about, you know, first let's do it. Start with a command line based adventure. Just to play around with it, because of the one thing that I think would be kind of neat is building up a story. Basically, it's interactive fiction. You know, I know what it is. But build up a story a little bit at a time. Okay, build up this kind of, not even a story per se, but build up this world. You know, old dungeon, what do you call it? Dungeon adventure kind of things. I forgot what it was called. But the whole idea is that you go from room, you have these different rooms that are connected, and then from those connected rooms or connected areas, doesn't have to be a room, but you can consider an area. And it just the whole idea is that, okay, you go into a room, it brings up a description of the room. And then you can interact with different things. You can find out, okay, you have this piece and it's located here. You can pick up that object and you can do certain things with the object. I have to look into that, but you know, first things first. Which is, to me, Dungeon Crawler. Thank you, Russ. That's the term I was looking for. And I just want to play with it, just to see how that goes first. You know, the beginning part of the adventure is just, okay, create this Dungeon Crawler, you know, that kind of type of game, that I can just use for building this world, you know, not even supposed to be put out there for the rest of you, but you know, these different rooms, like, I don't know, you know, that, you know, going to the room, it describes it, you know, with high walls, which are dripping, you know, from the stalactites, or, you know, I don't think it's an actual cave adventure at that point. You know, and maybe, Dave's saying the Dungeon Crawler is a hack and slash type of adventure. I guess you're right, but going to a dungeon, cavern, etc., kick in the door, kill it, take its stuff. Yeah, understood. This definitely wouldn't be something like that. One thing at a time. At the very least, it would be a good thing for me to use to, explore writing, you know, and put it together. Because, say, I'm not a writer, you know, But I think this would be really great to help out with writing skills. You know, I might not be able to create a story, but if I can create a world and describe that world using this, I think that'd be great. Heck, you know, I'm not sure. For all I know, actually, I might have to check anyway to see if there's any software already that does that kind of thing, which allows you to just do a basic description of a dungeon, you know, that's purely, you know, it's not this the way Dungeons & Dragons is done these days, where you actually have physical miniatures on a board. Because, man, in my day, get off my lawn. that is that when I originally played an RPG game. Yeah, understood. Greystone, I think it is. There's a Dungeons & Dragons group that meets up. And they use miniatures. But anyway, when you did everything purely by description, you didn't have to worry about, actually, you didn't put miniatures on the board. You had a picture how far you were away from away from a monster. You were like 10 feet or you were 15 feet. And then you have to figure out what you could do at 15 feet. And then the whole idea is that you have to picture where you guys are in relationship to each other, in relationship to the monster, or relationship, you know, and okay, where are you when it comes to the door? Is the door, are you standing right by the door? Is the door 10 feet behind you? You know, things like that. Is the door open? Is the door closed? You know, that kind of thing. But being able to describe that, I think it'd be great. And in the case of doing, using Rust, in my mind, is the way of learning Rust and doing a kind of fun kind of programming. Excuse me. I gotta be careful. My office is kind of small and I just kicked my other computer. But anyhow, the idea is just something kind of fun to do, you know, even if I can't describe things greatly, but you know, I think that'd be kind of neat. You know, I'm willing to bet you there are some, there's probably, my guess, there's probably, it's a program that already does this. I'm willing to bet you there already are for the interactive fictions that people have already done this for. And actually, I have some links that I've saved when it comes to interactive fiction. There's a whole community of when it comes to interactive fiction. And there's also kinds of competitions and things like that, which I think are kind of cool. But anyway, so that's another little project that I'm personally working on. It might never see the light of day, just to let you know. It's something that I would love if I could have it so it definitely saw the light of day and maybe get people to maybe either create their own little worlds, or together we can create a world. Though I say that in my heart of hearts, I go, no, I really don't want to, I don't have to worry about all of that, you know. And you know, I want to remain true of what I want to learn. Okay, Russ, then don't do anything else. You can just listen to me and that's all. And don't worry, my guess is going to be a pretty short podcast. But anyhow, with that, you know, I think it's kind of neat. You know, maybe the one thing I definitely have thought of when it comes to this little adventure, I think it would be kind of neat to see if I could integrate it into SAP Online, you know, the IRC stuff, to see if I can get that interactive there. Basically, the one thing I thought might be kind of cool is to add this functionality in, have a room that you can go into or you can create. And then, wow, close game. Cowboys are, it's the Saints, correct, Dave? Saints, yeah, Cowboys versus Saints. Cowboys are still winning, but it's only 13-10, almost the fourth quarter. So it's a very close game. But the idea, I had the idea of, you know, assuming I actually pull this off, that maybe integrating into the online client so people can go into like a room and then kind of do an interactive fiction, you know, this whole piece, explore the world I've created using one of the rooms, you know. So I thought that might be kind of an interesting little thing to do. But you know, one thing at a time. I mean, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself because Lord knows the biggest issue is that I have all these great ideas. The problem is spending the time to actually implement the ideas. That's going to be the longest period of time to do. But just to let you know, I don't think I'm going to be achieving any of my goals for this year when it comes to Starfleet Warlord or SAP Online. You know, the whole idea, I'm going to see if I can at least possibly have it so it's near, because I've got the last week of December, I'm completely off. Okay. So I might be able to get maybe the chat room up for SAP Online, possibly. You know, I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure that I won't be able to get the Warlord aid on the website done. But maybe I can work on that some more and see where I can go with that. You know. See what I can get done in a month's time. I can probably focus on one or the other, but I can't. There's no way I'm going to be able to do both. So that's the way I see it. So with that, I think I'm going to wrap up because I don't want to try to draw this thing out to be longer. And I'll let Dave get back to it so he can focus on his game for this evening. So. With that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.